There was going to be trouble, and hell, he just wasn't in the mood for it. Lucky Tyler, seated on a bar stool, was nursing his second whiskey and water. Bothered again by the rough, masculine laughter coming from one corner of the tavern, he glanced irritably over his shoulder to look in that direction.
"Might have known little Alvin would sniff her out," the bartender said.
Lucky only grunted in response. Turning back to his drink, he hunched his shoulders and sank a little deeper into his slouching position on the barstool. He reasoned that if the broad hadn't wanted the attentions of little Alvin or any other guy, she wouldn't have come into the lounge alone. Describing the place as a lounge sure was euphemistic, he thought. The place was a bona fide honky-tonk. It didn't possess a single feature that would elevate it to any higher caliber of drinking hole than that. It had first opened during the boom, 50 or so years earlier. Before the bar had a flashing neon star out front, before it had indoor plumbing, the place had served bootleg liquor to roughnecks, wildcatters, and the ladies of the night who comforted them when the wells turned up dry or who took their money when they struck black gold. The Highway Tavern hadn't had a name then that anybody could remember, and it didn't have one now. It was simply known to locals as The Place, as in, meet you at the place after work for a drink. Respectable men frequented it alongside those who weren't respectable. But a respectable woman wouldn't be caught dead inside. If a woman came to the place, she was there for one reason and one reason only. The instant a woman alone darkened the door, hunting season commenced. It was understood. That's why Lucky wasn't too concerned about the welfare of the woman being hassled by little Alvin and one of his least savory companions, Jack Ed Patterson. However, when another burst of laughter erupted from the corner, Lucky swung his gaze around again. Several things struck him as odd. A long-neck beer stood on the chipped formica table in front of the woman, along with a half-filled glass. A glass? She must have requested it, because at the place, long necks weren't usually served with a glass, even to a woman. Strange that she had asked for a glass. She wasn't exactly dolled up, either. Oh, she was good-looking, all right. But her makeup was conservative, and her clothing upscale and chic. She wasn't your ordinary gal about town on the prowl, or even a housewife looking for a distraction from the daily grind or revenge on an inattentive husband. He couldn't quite pigeonhole her, and that intrigued him.
"How long's she been here?" he asked the bartender. "Got here about a half hour before you came in. Know her?"
Lucky shook his head no.
"Then she sure as hell ain't from around here,"
the bartender guffawed, implying that Lucky kept a more accurate account of the local female population than the Census Bureau, which was the truth.
"Soon as she came in and ordered her beer, she drew everybody's attention like flies to honey. Of course, the rest backed off when little Alvin showed more than a passing interest." "Yeah, he's a real ladies' man, all right," Lucky said sardonically.
Little Alvin had been so dubbed merely because he was eighth of the eight offspring born to the Cagneys. Standing 6'5", he weighed about 290, 30 pounds of it put on since he had left the NFL several years earlier. He'd been playing first-string linebacker for the Denver Broncos when he caused a league controversy. One of his quarterback sacks had left a rookie Dolphins player with blurred vision, stuttering speech, and a retirement pension. The tackle had been so unnecessarily rough, little Alvin himself had suffered a dislocated shoulder. The team management had used his injury as its reason for not picking up his contract at the end of that season, but it was speculated that management was glad of the excuse to get rid of him. Upon his suspension, little Alvin had returned home to East Texas and picked up where he'd left off years before as Milton Point's meanest bully. He still considered himself a super stud football hero. Tonight, neither his dubious charm nor his fame were working on the woman he'd set his sights on. Even from across the dim, smoky lounge, Lucky could see that she was growing more agitated by the minute. The George Strait ballad, blaring from the jukebox, prevented him from hearing the words they exchanged. But when little Alvin laid a meaty hand on the woman's shoulder, there was no mistaking how she felt about his romantic overtures.
She shrugged off his hand and reached for her purse. She attempted to slide out of the booth, but 290 pounds of little Alvin Cagney, along with his sidekick, Jack Ed Patterson, who had recently done time in Huntsville State Prison for assault with a deadly weapon, blocked her escape. Lucky sighed. He was going to have to do something about this, and damned if he was in the mood for it. It had been a hell of a week. Business was rotten, and a loan payment was only weeks away from coming due. Susan was dropping hints about a diamond ring for her left hand. The last thing he needed was a run-in with a couple of lowlifes like little Alvin and Jack Ed. But what if their quarry had been his kid sister, Sage? He would like to think that some decent guy would come to her aid. Of course, Sage was smart enough not to get herself into a sticky situation like this. But you couldn't decline to protect a woman's virtue just because she was dim-witted.